Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this week's episode of Boat Briefing. I'm Holly, and joining me today is Boat International's wonderful business editor, Gabby. Now, much like our thumping October issue and the boat show season itself, this episode is a long one, and it's absolutely packed with juicy tidbits from Monaco. We're diving into all the biggest stories from the docks, from Bonetti's Mar stepping in as the show's largest yacht, to standout debuts, and even an insight into FedShip's groundbreaking yacht, Breakthrough. We relive a week of design and innovation, and an insight into the industry shakeups that even caught us off guard. We'll also share some of our personal highlights, from exclusive dinners and deck tours to our usual canapé review, because it wouldn't be a boat briefing without one. So, grab a coffee, or perhaps something stronger, and settle in, because there's a lot to unpack. Gabs,
hi.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how tired are you feeling this week?
I don't know what you mean. I feel fine. I had a good 3 hours of sleep on Sunday night and I'm ready and raring. No, everyone this week is really, really tired, industry-wide.
Industry-wide.
So I feel like we're relating to a lot of listeners right now.
But yeah.
I booked myself a Pilates class on the Sunday when I got back, and I booked it ages ago, and I got back and went, this is a terrible idea, and it was.
That's brave.
It was all hamstring focused after climbing mountains of stairs up into Bolio.
Rather you than I. That's all I've got to say. And I'm so glad that this is not a video podcast, because it would really be giving away the big eye bags.
Oh God, me too.
Yeah, not for us. So actually, listeners have got the joy today of listening to the world's slowest speaker, me. And
paired with the world's fastest speaker. I'm making a conscious effort right now to slow down.
Yeah. So our podcast editors are probably going to be having an absolute field day trying to edit this together. They'll be having me on,
I don't know, Holly, you can just try and speed it up, yeah?
Yeah, sorry. They'll be having me on 1.5 speed and you on minus.
I'm just going to sound drunk.
Okay, so let's get into it.
Okay.
Monaco Yacht Show. Any personal highlights?
Am I going first or are you going first?
I'll go. Would you like me to go first?
Sure.
You're struggling to
yours
think
are,
of a highlight.
Yours, yeah,
are you?
Yours are probably better than mine.
Okay. I do have an immediate highlight.
Okay.
So my highlight was an intimate dinner on board King Benji with a few of the Boat International crew.
You know what? I should have totally gone first because I can't top that.
But no, it's a hard one to top. It was such a lovely, lovely dinner. Very, very grateful to all the crew who were just wonderful and I'm sure just drained during the show as it was. Never mind then having to host the annoying Boat International staff.
No, but I think it's quite nice because they've had a lot of experience with our team before, and there's a lot of pressure when you're hosting a bunch of journalists for a very formal press gathering.
That's true.
With this, it just felt like friends coming over for dinner.
Yeah, it was. It was lovely. It was really intimate, really relaxed, but it was a great experience. It was like being, a charter guest on board, and you can see why it's such a popular charter yacht. So obviously it's just beautiful. As you step on board, you see the logo at the stern, which has a likeness of King Benji, which is actually the owner's beloved dog. And then you step inside and it's just, you're overstimulated, but in all the best ways. There's so many textures and colours that are just dominating that beautiful Design Unlimited interior. I don't know if you've been on board, Gabs.
Rub it in. I have not. No.
Sorry to rub it in. Next time. Mm. I feel like she's always at the boat show, so you'll have to get on board. But there's these amazing themed cabins with different graphic wallpapers covering everything from seahorses to fish, octopus, and just beautiful headboards, natural bamboo ceilings, just the full shebang. Obviously, I can't not mention the alfresco disco shower, which is just outside the owner's cabin. So that's really cool. And also, if you want a really great view of the show, the crow's nest on King's Benji is just, creme de la creme.
King's Benji?
Yeah. and from up there, you can also see the half cold plunge, the half warm pool, which is, very cool. So, yeah, I've got to say, King Benji dinner, it was the dream.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was quite something. Feel very, very lucky to have been invited on board.
Also got really lucky with some really nice dinners that week as well. I was trying to think I was trying to think of my highlight earlier, and you know what? It was hard to top Can. I heard on the podcast Dia telling you about us meeting Charlotte Claire.
Okay, so I come on here and I talk about my King Benji dinner, and you're like, you know what? I've got a game of top trumps. I can outdo that.
That was Can. Anyway, for Monaco though, the week started off essentially with a dinner with the Ferretti group, and they're so hospitable, but I was sitting next to Alberto Glassi, the CEO of Ferretti Group, and he is such a character. Have you met him?
I actually haven't, no.
He's such a character. I remember, because I have this rule with myself that I don't allow myself to have a drink until the last night, all the work's done, mm-hmm. and then you kind of let loose. And I was trying to stick to that, and
This was on the first night?
On the first night.
Before, was it not before the show, actually?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Tuesday night.
I was sat next to Mr. Glassi and I wasn't drinking anything. And he looks at me and he goes, "Why are you being boring?" And I went, "Well, if he's telling me I have to, then I must." So,
naturally.
Yeah. That was the beginning of a very long night. But then a band came out and I remember, you know, because the alcohol was flowing a little bit. I'm kidding. I had one glass. But he just makes you feel so comfortable. And at one point, I remember I said to him, "Look, when am I going to get one of those Riva phone cases?"
Mm.
And he went, "Well, what phone do you have?" And I told him. And I didn't think much of it. And then the next day, I get a call from their team saying, "Can you come by the stand?" And I came by and they gave me
This is the dream.
My Riva phone case.
I think this is what everybody aspires to. You know, we get so much merchandise mm-hmm. in this industry, and that is the one thing. If I see anybody,
it's so coveted,
with a Riva phone case on, yeah. I'm like, okay, they're cool.
Well, let me know. I can put in a good word with you with my close personal.
Yeah,
friend,
that
Mr.
would be
Glassi.
Great. Actually, you could just get us sent some to the office.
So yeah, that was my first highlight, and then I had another really nice dinner that week with Silver Lining. They were having a nice gathering at the Yacht Club de Monaco to celebrate their 40th anniversary, which is, I mean, quite impressive.
Yeah.
But what was really interesting at that dinner, I didn't even realize, I was sat next to one of the principal designers from RWD, who was responsible for designing Breakthrough, FedShip's new yacht. And so I was just quizzing him, basically, on a bunch of different questions about Breakthrough, because it's so secretive. And one of the questions that I asked was, I just went, "Why is the mast so big?"
And what was the response? Well,
but apparently it's because they had to make it that size to let the hydrogen escape safely. So all of these different technical requirements that kind of influenced the design of the yacht itself. And he was saying that, yeah, it really was. I mean, it was quite amazing working on that project, because he was basically sat in a room in the design phase with these top tier engineers, like the best in their field, and they're working through solutions in real time, because this has never been done before.
No.
So they were essentially like, he was in these pioneering conversations, just watching the project unfold and take shape.
That is amazing, isn't it?
It was really cool.
It
was really cool.
All the different steps that go into it. And I believe that you actually had a bit of a glimpse of Breakthrough.
Yes, because I was so high up in Bolio, in my accommodation. But no, Breakthrough made a surprise appearance, which, you know, none of us were expecting, because she got taken off the list because she was sold a couple weeks ago. She was supposed to be the biggest yacht attending Monaco, and she was replaced, of course, by Mar. But she was out at anchor.
She was indeed. And, you know, that was great for the industry to see, but slightly frustrating for us, because we did record a podcast the week before Monaco, and we were kind of getting some preview data. And unfortunately, the news cycle moved pretty fast that week.
I know. I felt so bad for you guys. As soon as you put it out, everything starts changing.
It did. And it was the same with the article, but obviously online, it's a bit easier to change an article. When it comes to a podcast, they don't have the luxury of last minute edits. So at the time, we knew that FedShip's Breakthrough had been sold and that her attendance was uncertain. But we didn't know that the 90.1 meter Nero was then confirmed, or that Benetti's 107 meter Mar would swoop in, as you say, as the new largest yacht in attendance. So that was a fun Friday, wasn't it?
4 p.m. on a Friday, if I remember correctly.
It was, yeah. Mm. There was a lot of newsletter changes, a lot of tweaks on socials. So we like to be kept on our toes anyway, don't we?
No,
No. Heard it here first. Just keep it simple next year. But that is the fun and the frenzy of the show season, isn't it?
Yeah.
The lineup just changes by the day. So, okay, what about the atmosphere in general at the show? What did you pick up?
I don't know if you were the same, but basically everyone I talked to, the general sense was that the show felt a bit quieter this year. Although that's not necessarily saying that it was that it reflects poorly on the show itself. It might just be after last year was such a record-breaking edition. I mean, there were so many different key figures. It was Kismet was the largest show, largest yacht to attend the show ever in its history. There were three different 100 meter plus vessels berthed in Port Hercule.
I did. I was relying
now you've
on
made
you.
It really self-conscious about it. I think it's Port Hercule, but there were three 100 meter plus vessels berthed there, which is basically unheard of compared to this year where there was only one. So I think just compared to last year, it might have seemed like it was a little bit slower, but energy was up and people were having really good conversations. So I think that it was quieter in that it was more manageable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I didn't go to Monaco last year. It was my first time. So I don't have much to compare it to other than Cannes. And so to me, Monaco just, you know, I kept saying to everyone, there's the Cannes chaos and the Monaco mayhem. Like it's
mayhem.
Just...
mayhem. I was going to go madness.
Oh, madness. Mm. Madness is another one. So, I mean, yeah, to me, it felt very, very busy. But I know what you mean about, you know, the actual length of yachts.
Yeah. And I think there would have been a little bit more buzz on the docks if Breakthrough was there.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
That kind of took away from it a little bit, but
well,
you know,
she teased us. She was she on
did.
The horizon.
She did. But still, there were a lot of really exciting appearances. Some of them you mentioned, like Miro and Luna as well was there. And there were a lot of different premieres. We got on Tankoa's latest Sportiva 55, Loewe. That yacht, we can confirm, is owned by Loewe, the luxury AV brand.
Yep. Who did something special to mark the yacht's debut. They actually partnered with, I think it's Jacob & Co., which is a New York jeweler, and they created a limited edition pair of headphones, which were actually then unveiled on board.
Did you see them?
Did I see them? Gabby, I danced next to you with them on.
No, we didn't put those on.
We didn't put those on.
Do you know how much those go for? There's 10 in the world. I looked this up before this podcast. They go for 135,000 euros each.
Okay, so
each.
I think I'd have
like they
known.
Would have let us yeah. touch them.
Fair enough.
They are rose gold, diamond, and sapphire encrusted headphones.
Okay, I did not put those on.
No.
I
think they were behind glass, but
I think they might have been. Okay.
But no.
Interesting. I might just go around telling everyone that I wore them anyway.
Maybe you should. Yeah. We'll ask the editor to cut that and we'll just say that we put on these gorgeous, luxurious headphones. But no, we tried on the much less expensive ones on the sun deck, and we were just having, I mean, I don't know about you, but I was having a whale of a time just kind of dancing around to music no one else could hear. I'm sure I looked amazing.
You actually did. This is the funny thing. Gabby looked so composed and so cool. I was like, that is the cool girl of the yacht show. And I turned to Gabby and said, oh God, I've just got nothing else in me but a two-step. And she was like, oh, my mom told me that you have to dance. Like there's ants everywhere. I don't know what your mum looks like dancing, but I'm pretty sure, you know, I took on board her advice and I gave it a go. And Gabby
looked,
just gets out
of
the camera.
Like, you looked like you were river dancing. It was
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did do Irish dancing when I was a child, so maybe that was coming out.
You can be sure that was, I put that immediately on my story. That was hilarious.
Yeah. That's the behind the scenes that everybody needs to see, does not need to see.
But I mean, between that and there was a DJ on the aft deck. And,
oh, it was great.
And I know we're going to talk about the canapes, but I just feel like that is the Monaco show at its best. All of these just fun, upbeat press gatherings on yachts or just parties to celebrate.
It was so much fun. It was the party yacht for sure, wasn't it? And I saw a few Boat International employees on there. I actually saw Toby at one point and Luca.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
They were there too. But just to go back to the canapes, I feel like this is just a podcast episode to just fully humiliate myself. but obviously, I live for the canapes. We don't get to eat often at these boat shows in this industry, do we?
No.
So you've got to take the opportunity.
Well, do you know what I was saying to someone? You either eat really well, like you're being treated to dinner, or it's just anything you can grab.
Oh, yeah. It's just some
like canapes.
Yeah, like canapes. Anyway, they had a A gorgeous selection, I must say. But what did I decide to go for? Well, I thought it was a salmon blini.
You went for the most expensive option, and it was the only one with caviar.
Well, obviously. I thought, when in Rome. And I inhaled it. It was one of those canapés that was a bit too big, I would say. It wasn't bite size. It was more like, you know, it was big anyway. Mm. But I inhaled it, and it was so dry. I just couldn't wind it down. And Gabby, again, gets out her camera.
Whips my phone out.
Got a great photo of me, which has actually now made it into the whole of Boat International's WhatsApp chat.
I'm sorry. I'd just like to straighten up for the record. I thought that was the point of this chat when everyone goes, okay, photo time. It's just to send in the most embarrassing photos you've accumulated from the week. There were some really bad ones of me in there, too.
I don't think you're telling the truth there, actually. I think there were several of me that just should never have seen daylight.
Maybe you should just be a bit more conscious of yourself while you're in public.
I'm just trying to get some food down me at a boat show. God forbid a girl wants to eat. So canapés and humiliation aside, did you get on board any other yachts?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
No, I didn't. I got on basically the only other one that I got on was Baglietto's Andala, their eighth unit in the Dom 133 series. And it's beautiful. And I mean, did you know they sold 12 of those already?
Gosh,
that's crazy. I was speaking to their team on board. It's quite impressive. But Baglietto, just as a yard, has 22 yachts in build right now. So they're doing really well.
Wow. Yeah.
But that's that was my only other yacht that I got on this year.
Oh, I'm sorry. I feel like this next bit might be slightly painful. Oh,
just go ramble through your list.
Yeah. Well, you know, just as a caveat to this, I wasn't just going around having a jolly all day. I was actually trying to rope some brokers into doing... We were running a mini-series called Broker's Pitch in 30 Seconds. So it's kind of to put brokers under a bit of pressure and for them to give us their elevator pitch, basically. I was like, you know, cut the marketing waffle. I don't want you reading your brochure. Give me something fun. Anyway, we struggled a bit at Monaco. There weren't many brokers that kind of wanted to get in front
cut
of the camera.
Fluff. Oh.
Yeah, cut the fluff. I think it's, you know, it is hard. It's a skill. And as soon as that camera starts rolling, it's hilarious, actually, because so many people crumble. Anyway, we got a great one from Marco from Ocean Independence. And he was just so funny, so Italian, so casual. And, you know, we were like, give us your sales pitch. And it was just, he just kind of went, why not buy her? And I was like, you know what, Marco? You've sold it. You've done it. Great pitch. So that was actually on board Regina d'Italia. I feel like I might have just butchered the name there.
No, yeah, that's quite an infamous yacht, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. Courtney Kardashian and Travis Barker, not that I follow them, you know, obsessively, reportedly once spent time on board.
Yeah, I think it was around their wedding.
Yeah. Translates as Queen of Italy.
Interesting.
Apparently.
Yeah. Well, I would say she... She's certainly regal inside, so that's, you know.
Yes, designed by Stefano Gabbana, she'd have to be.
Yeah, it was very kind of Gabbana-coded, mm-hmm. Leopard print, gold, black. Yeah.
Well, I haven't been on board, so I'm going to take your word for it.
You'll have to, but very maximalist. Another one that I got on board was Boardwalk, which is the 76.5-meter Fed ship, which was actually listed for sale with Wyco for the first time since her 2021 delivery. It's a very American interior. It's always a popular one with yacht spotters. She's very, very beautiful, actually. Full of, you know, tactile textures, neutral tones, pops of colour here and there. And as you step on board, her main saloon has these sort of shimmering fabrics and materials, some backlit opal white marble. But a real sort of standout takeaway was that it was just bar after bar. I thought, this owner has the right idea. There were actually six in total, can you believe?
Six bars,
would you believe? She's also got this certified helipad, and she did actually have the helicopter on board when I was there.
Sorry, six bars. How long is this yacht?
76.5 meters. 70... As I just said.
Sorry.
But no, it is. It's crazy. And they're all just beautiful as well. I would love to know, you know, which bar is the most used. So yeah, that was a real standout.
You could do your very own pub crawl.
I could.
That'd be really fun, actually.
I don't think that the yachting industry is ready for a little Yorkshire girl to start a pub crawl. I think that that could be...
I mean, I didn't, to be fair, I didn't mean you.
Okay,
I
just meant not me.
They could...
Yeah, I wouldn't put the luxury spin on it, I don't think. Okay. Be like, this is how we do it in Yorkshire. But anyway, Boardwalk was also next to a really cool standout yacht.
Yeah, that one I do know. It was next to Energy on the docks, and mm-hmm. I only know this because... Well, actually, no. Of course, I recognize her, and I... Oh, I'm digging myself in a hole here. No, she was the cover star of our October issue. So basically the issue that we had plastered all over Monaco. Did you get on board her? I would love to have seen how many issues they had laid out with her on the cover.
You would hope that they were scattered everywhere, actually.
Well, you'd think that, we should have brought her own box, really.
Yeah. Would have been good. She's definitely beautiful. I tried to get on board and it fell through, but I do know that other members of the team did manage to get on board and they said that it was great. And you know what I'd give to see that martial arts room.
Do you know what? For all of us who weren't able to get on board, all you need to do is go flick through a copy of Boat International October issue.
God, are you getting commission from this by any chance?
I really should.
Yeah, great plug. But to be fair, that is a great point. You can see some of the beautiful imagery, interior, exterior, in the magazine and also online, because the Yacht Report is now live. But I have to say, Energy was also then next to Nero, which is the 90-meter Corsair yacht, which is ultimately, I have to say, I know we can't pick favorites, but she's my favorite.
Don't let the rest of the industry hear you say that.
Look, we're all allowed an opinion here. But it's just for personal reasons, really. She'll always hold a special place in my heart because she was the first super yacht that I ever went on board. So 2 years ago when I joined Boat International, that was just a fantastic experience. And she's just obviously so beautiful, so classic inspired. She's got those Laura Pomponi interiors, kind of gives it that quiet luxury feel. And actually, that is still one of my proudest features that I've ever written. And I think I was only about 8 weeks into the job. Not to, you know, give myself a bit of a...
Complex?
Yeah. It's been all downhill from there.
Oh, man. Do you know, I really should go read that one of these days.
I think it was nice because it was at the time when you could really, you know, you're so curious, you've got the time to write and you're just trying to really understand everything. So there was a lot of detail in there. And, you know,
basically that leaves you.
Yeah. No, I've still got the curiosity. The time is the issue now. Sorry, not to harp on about all my highlights.
No,
but
go on.
Another really great experience was I had a press breakfast on board Corinthia 7, which was just amazing. It was actually at 8 a.m. that we got the tender across because she was at anchor. And I actually had to film the news anchor morning welcome. Even earlier than normal, so I had to get Naomi, social media manager, out of bed very early to get filming. And it was quite amusing, actually, getting all these tripods out. I had like 2 minutes before the tender was leaving and I'm trying to rattle through yesterday's news. Just no small feat when there's so much news, actually.
And you have to fit it in 60 seconds.
In 60 seconds. But you know what? It was all worth it because as we got to Corinthia 7, it was just so calm. I was like, oh my God, this is what everybody needs during the boat show. There was a violinist as you stepped on board playing Here Comes the Sun. Let's actually just crop that bit out. Nobody needed to hear me sing. Perfect. But yeah, that was just incredible. Don't actually think I'd been on board Alerson before, but she obviously has that proper pedigree status, you know, just the scale of everything, the interior being not in your face in any way. It has like the element of fun with different pops of colour, but, you know, slightly playful, but just beautiful and has so many charter guest favourite features. You know, a standout thing for me was the air-conditioned gym, which is actually just quite hilarious because I'm
general.
Not a gym girly.
No, you were just there for the air conditioning.
I was there. It was the air conditioning. No, to be fair, they did the thing that was really catching my eye. They had a reformer Pilates machine. And I was just looking at it and I thought, what a view. Like, it was on the bridge deck. And the gym is actually 90 square meters. So quite impressive. But yeah, I thought you and I would love to do a reformer Pilates class there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also have the winter garden on the bridge deck aft, which is actually complemented by a large cinema screen. They've got a huge 12-meter swimming pool on the main deck, spa and wellness area, with everything from a hammam, a beauty salon, which has like a nail bar and a hairdressing area, as well as a massage bed. So yeah, she packs a punch.
Oh, I could have used that.
Yeah. So all great experiences on board, but I actually have to just flag something.
Mm-hmm.
That when we're having these yacht tours, I feel like I would love to be on the other end of it, you know, be the person that's giving the tour. Because when you're the guest stepping on board and you're being shown all the different cabins and different spaces, it gets to a point where you just completely run out of adjectives. And I think everybody has their own catchphrase, right?
Yeah.
So what's yours, Gabs?
I don't think I have one. I just go around being like, oh, this is so beautiful. No, I was hanging out with our charter editor, Georgia, and she has a really good one. Hers is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. What is yours?
Well, I just always go, and I've definitely said it in this podcast already about 5 times. I just go, wow. But the thing that's just so in my head when I'm saying it now is, I don't know if it's like my, you know, my northern accent or if it's just the word itself. I feel like I sound like Owen Wilson when he goes, wow.
No.
And now it just doesn't even sound genuine. It just sounds so sarcastic. But, you know, every yacht that you go on, generally, you're pretty impressed by it.
Yeah.
And just thinking of a new adjective or new way to describe the space gets difficult.
So to anyone that was showing you around,
wow,
and might have thought you were being disingenuous,
yeah, just
it was genuine.
Another colleague actually at Boat was saying that she's actually not in editorial, but she doesn't get many yacht tours, but she was going on board and she was saying that she said to the person giving her the tour that she was really impressed at the sea views, which really really really, really tickled me. You'd hope so. You'd hope so on a yacht out at sea.
They charge extra for sea views on
This is actually the premium space.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Okay, so let's get back to the show.
Well, that is the show. I just didn't have that many tours.
You didn't get the
sea
view.
Not that I'm bitter about it at all. No, I was running around I was doing the heavy lifting while you were getting all the princess treatments in your massage rooms and hammams.
Hang on. Daya also made this point at me last week. I would just like to say, I was trying, you know.
That's okay. That's okay.
Cool.
You've just been elevated to the, you know, the leadership team. We're the workhorses here. I was running around getting my 20,000 steps a day at all the different press breakfasts and interviews. But I was thinking about this, and there was something interesting that I noticed this year that was, some brands are actually forgoing formal press conferences altogether. Mm. So we've kind of heard about some brands giving up their stands, but some are not doing press conferences. They're swapping them out they're just having one-to-one announcements with select media publications. So it's not like they're doing it with everybody. I felt really grateful when I went and saw GX Superyachts. I met up with their team and I was the very first person at the show. And I mean, I guess the yachting industry in general, which is a bit surreal to think about, but I was the first one to learn about their new GX38 Voyager yacht, which they plan to turn into a series of explorer-oriented models. And they had essentially an entire PowerPoint presentation on their laptop that they were just running me through. And I mean, I'm not really sure why they're doing that. And I don't know if it's something they're going to keep up, but I mean, there was also, you know, we mentioned the yards giving up their stands. Heesen was one of them that said that they were giving up their quite prime positioning at the T entrance. And they did something different this year. And they actually set up shop over in the neighboring Cap Die. So Lauren's Last, the new owner, was essentially camped out there. And he was bringing everybody over to the yard's latest 55-meter Agnetha. And they had their own pop-up cafe. They had their own tender, a fleet of chauffeured cars for getting to and from Monaco. So it all seemed really well thought out. And I mean, they had the 60-meter Luzine dock next to them. So it was basically their own private Heesen experience. And I imagine it felt a bit calmer than being in the middle of Port Hercule as well. But fun fact for those of us that weren't there, he was tipping off journalists that Heesen plans to expand its offerings. So that's to say he plans to take the semi-custom series and the smart custom lines upward to 60, 70 meters, which is a little bit of an industry exclusive for you.
Yeah, I think it's quite nice that yards are doing this, actually, because when you go to these press conferences, it's such a scramble sometimes as a journalist to try and obviously get the information there's sometimes technical issues. I mean, I went to one and the mic cut out, and then you're all in the same boat, basically, pardon the pun, of trying to get a quote. And yeah, it's actually much, much nicer to sit down with someone, get the exclusive, and, you know, be able to ask a few questions.
Yeah, and even for the clients, I mean, it seems like exhibitors are, they're much more concerned nowadays with creating more personal experiences for the people who are interested in buying their yachts. And they really do, I mean, they do care about them. But it's interesting to see the show evolving in that direction, almost like, you know, because the show has become as big as it has, it's become maybe a bit mainstream, and they're trying to find pockets and places to make it feel more exclusive for serious buyers that they want to, again, give the best experience to.
Absolutely, yeah. I also had a very similar experience, actually, where I met Princess Yacht CEO, Will Green. So you can stay tuned, because there is an upcoming podcast with him where he gave us the exclusive on the yard's re-entry into the superyacht segment. So it was much nicer, actually, to just kind of go in. We kind of had a slight idea, a slight tip off of what the news was going to be. But to go and then hear it from him, you know, be able to ask some questions about it, it was much nicer. So yeah, a big move for the British builder, actually.
Don't give too much away.
I won't give too much away. I'll leave it as an exclusive for that podcast. I think everyone knows the news now, but I'll let Will tell you in his own words.
Yeah, and he gave you some extra details and the meaning behind the name. And
absolutely.
Yeah.
And then Ocean Co. had a similar strategy.
Oh, I wish I was there for that.
Yeah, I think it was Cecile that actually went, the Boat US editor, and she got some one-on-one time with Gabe Newell himself, which is quite a flex.
She got one-on-one time with him?
Yeah.
I thought he just called into the press conference.
I think he did, but then I think it kind of, they were allowed to ask some questions.
No.
That's what I understand anyway. Cecile, correct us if we're wrong, but I would say it's quite a flex to say that you've done that with, you know, the visionary who kind of redefined gaming through Valve and is it Steam?
I can't say I'm a connoisseur of that world, but that's very, very cool. I actually, you know, speaking of that, I went and talked to the owner of Turquoise Yachts. So they recently just sold Ocean Co. to Newell. But basically the owner was saying, or the former owner, I should say, was saying he wasn't actually looking to sell Ocean Co. at all, but Newell came in with just such enthusiasm, such a good offer that he couldn't turn it down, essentially. But then when he thought about it, part of it became strategic. So he thought with Gabe, like we're on a first name basis, with Mr. Newell, coming from a tech background, like he said, he could bring in a lot in terms of innovation that, you know, will hopefully trickle down to the rest of the industry, which I thought was really interesting. And, you know, maybe every Ocean Co. yacht will come with a fully immersive virtual reality room as a standard. Who knows?
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
That's what I look for.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also managed to catch, actually, not to do some more name dropping, but I also managed to speak to Dickie and Simon at the Aeris Yacht Press Conference. So they were actually talking about Spitfire, which is this really cool 50-meter project. So the platform is actually derived from the Aeris 150 Bold, which was named the world's best offshore patrol vessel in 2018, apparently. But, you know, there's some really cool things about this. So in a departure from conventional yachting terminology, the onboard spaces actually reflect Spitfire's aviation inspiration. So, it's the things like the cabins are known as the buddy quarters. The full beam is known as the boss quarters. There's a real hierarchy here, isn't there? And then there's the dining salon is called DFAC. I might have butchered that, sorry. The main saloon is the bunker, and the aft terrace is referred to as the scramble station. So, yeah, loads of really cool features. I know that Gabby is dying for me to call out the expansive poop deck with the grill bar.
You mentioned this earlier, and I just had to go, I'm sorry, what? What is
she
that?
She didn't actually, I mean, I think I've seen it written down once before.
That can't be real.
It can't be. That's just so horrible.
Is that specifically something they came up with, like one of these names?
No, it's
this is universal.
This is universal.
What does it mean?
Why we don't see it in PR more? I'd love to know.
What is it?
We're gonna Google that afterwards.
Oh,
it's a very specific part of the yacht, and I don't want to imagine what the poop deck is.
Stop saying it, please.
Anyway, so obviously hearing about Spitfire was super cool and, you know, about how construction is progressing. But what I was really intrigued to hear more about from Dickie and Simon was about Valor, because they've actually teased about it being their best interior design yet. So I didn't manage to get on board, unfortunately. I know that other members of the team did, and they said it was just incredible. So I'm still eager to hear more. So I am definitely trying to set up an interview with them.
Just make sure to screen grab if they do end up showing you on the call.
Oh yeah, I will. Don't you worry. Just for you.
I mean, I'm going to do a little bit of a pivot because, you know, I am looking to cover more of the business side of things. But I'll tell you what, no, I did find interesting though. So Marine Money always opens Monaco Week with their annual Super Yacht Finance Forum. And I know that sounds a little bit dry for some, but it looks at, you know, the current economic and geopolitical forces influencing the yachting world. So it kind of helps, you know, create an understanding of, you know, what your expectations should be going into the yacht show. But this year especially was really, really heavy on the political side, you know, with all the news coming out of the States especially. So the major talking point was obviously around the tariff situation. And that's actually, it's quite substantial when you think about it. Say you're buying a $20 million vessel and you need to pay an extra 15% levy. That's an additional $3 to $5 million, which impacts, you know, brokers, financial institutions, and all the thousands of people that work on the yacht as well as the owner. So they were saying they're really pushing the need for the industry to advocate for tariff exemptions, or at the very least for more favorable tax policies. Although there was some good news, they touched on a recent win for the industry that was Trump's big, beautiful bill. So that restored first year depreciation of yachts classified as a business asset. So basically charter yachts. And speaking of the US, I visited the Denison yachting stand during the show, and I went to chat with their CEO, Bob Denison. And I just wanted to wanted someone to clarify once and for all, because you hear so much about it, how the US market is being affected. And, you know, since it represents 50, 65% of the yachting market in general, I just really wanted to know whether or not it was suffering, or if, you know, it was all being blown out of proportion. And honestly, more the latter. He basically waved it off as soon as I mentioned it. And he said he's more concerned by rising interest rates, but even those are starting to come down. So he's feeling quite bullish overall. And his optimism actually has led him into a recent merger with OneWater Yachting, which I covered a couple of weeks ago. And I didn't know this, but it's effectively made them the largest yacht firm in the world.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry. Wow.
No, it is surprising, but I mean, I'd say, you know, that kind of move, it really signals that you have a lot of confidence in the market and that's going to do well. So what did he say? He said, interest rates are going down. Consumer confidence in the US is increasingly high. And even if the tariff situation is difficult right now, I think once we figure it out as leaders, we'll see incredible activity on the market. So I think, you know, everyone's really banking on something similar, and he's so entrenched in the US market that I'm certainly inclined to believe him, but it also makes sense. You know, super yachts can be registered offshore for one, so there's ways around it all, but it doesn't sound like activity in the US has slowed down by a huge amount.
Yeah, it's good. It's nice to hear a bit of optimism again. Yeah,
exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, overall, the show was deemed to be a success. There weren't as many sales being reported on the quays, but that's to be expected, I think, when you're dealing with vessels that are so much bigger than the ones you typically see in Cannes.
Can I just interject here?
Sure.
About the yacht sales. So this is an interesting bit of trivia. I don't know if you knew this, but I heard the horn sound a few times during the show.
Don't tell me.
So I was at lunch with Cameron Nicholson's. I was with Holly O, the old Holly. And she was telling me that that is actually the horn sounds when there's been a yacht sale.
I did not know this.
Neither did I. And then I went around telling everyone this bit of trivia because I thought that is really cool. Does everyone know that? And I've just been oblivious this whole time. And somebody else was like, no, that's just someone getting sort of trigger happy on the horn.
I'm going to choose to believe.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose to believe that it's, you know. Well, I'll be honest, I didn't hear that many horns.
Well, I heard a lot of horns. So I'm thinking, so I started stressing then. I said to Holly O, I said, oh my goodness, I need to go and check the brokerage inbox immediately because I'm expecting a lot of PR through about all the yacht sales.
Wait, did you see any kind of press or release come in from Camper and Nicholson's about a sale that week? That
no, day? No, no.
Oh, well, then never mind. It's so glad you brought that up.
Sorry, back to you.
But no. I mean, just to give some context, there was only one yacht bigger than 50 meters in Cannes. Mm. But in Monaco, the average length was 48 meters. So you can imagine products going to move a little bit quickly. And in Monaco, when you're dealing with, I mean, I was speaking with Luca Romland, Lursen's new sales and marketing director, and he was saying that obviously they're not looking to close any sales during the show since the yachts they're used to dealing with are they're not just so big, but they're such a commitment. Mm. So mostly the show is judged by the amount of genuine interest in new projects. And he said they're having a lot of quality conversations with potential clients, which is a good sign for the upcoming year. Really, the big news for them was their new logo, which has been redesigned by the creative group Love From, but that was founded by Sir Joni Ive in recognition of their 150th anniversary, Lursen's 150th anniversary. So it was a special show for them this year.
Oh, yeah. And Sir Joni Ive, didn't Daya, our news editor, she interviewed him actually recently.
Yeah. Yes. She spoke to him about his new sailing lantern. Actually, I actually didn't know this, but he apparently was the chief design officer for Apple.
Yeah.
I feel like I should have known that. But anyway, yes, that interview is now live on Boat's website. So be sure to check that out for more insight into his latest foray into the maritime sector.
Yeah, just another string to his bow.
And another plug, but...
Yeah. Okay, so other talking points throughout the show. What were the hot topics on the docks?
I mean, everyone saves their biggest news for the Monaco Yacht Show. That's no question.
Yep.
So...
And we're absolutely inundated, and you know, we were all running around like headless chickens trying to cover it all. So this is just actually a side note to the yards and the industry. Please, please stop putting everything at 10 a.m. on a Thursday. There's not enough of us. We're a small team. I know that, like, in the industry, nobody's got a huge team. So can we just, you know, in our company, we have a working Excel sheet where we can put all the different invites in, and then we can, you know, allocate and see who can go to what. I just think we need to have something similar for the industry. Can we just have like one big working? I'm such a spreadsheet girly.
That's so true. I think it was Thursday, wasn't it, too, where we all just came in after, I think it was mid-afternoon, and we all just kind of plopped down at the boat stand, and everyone just looked close to tears.
Yeah, you could visibly see stress on everyone's faces. And I kept thinking, just actually, maybe we all just need to take a break from the boat stand, because if any clients or anyone come over to the boat stand now, they're going to see everybody just wanting to tear their hair out.
Yeah.
There was a lot of news that day. And, you know, across the week, there were loads and loads of concepts and designs unveiled, some of which are actually still spilling in this week. It was probably the press conferences that we, you know, where the invite got lost in the mail. But
which, by the way, was, you know, such a welcome surprise on the Monday, where you've had one day to rest and then you come back into the office and you're expecting everything to slow down a little bit. And then we basically had, what was it, 8-10 news stories that we needed to
nonstop
just drive through in the morning.
It doesn't stop, does it?
No, it doesn't.
So some of those designs came from, I'm not going to read them all out because you can find them online, but the designs came from Royal Houseman, Sino, Winch Design and Frez Design, Icon Yachts, Fathom Studio, Tirreni Yachts.
Is that all?
I think I've missed a few, but just to name a few. And then we also had a new flagship in the Lamborghini yacht range from Technomar.
I really want to go see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, there were so many. There was the new Riva 42 Metri, Cantieri di Pisa officially entering the 50 meter plus space. Sunreef, they're coming out with what's going to become the biggest luxury catamaran if it's built. Benetti introduced two models. Nauderswan said it's building the first of its Ally 44 meter aluminum sailing yacht series, which interestingly is one of the first major projects they've announced after the brand joined the San Lorenzo group. So That was cool to see the direction that they're taking.
And then there was the new UAE-based shipyard Romeo Marine, which unveiled a new 60-meter model, the Romeo 60. And the first unit is already under construction, so that's exciting.
They should name the first unit Wherefore Art Thou.
They should, Romeo, Romeo. And then there were also some new brands revealed as well. So there was Ocean Yachts, which is a new yacht brand by Repac, Wiser Yachts and Ocean World. So we'll be seeing what they're coming up with in the next few months. And then obviously this week, in one of the biggest announcements of the show, it's been revealed that Ocean Co signed a contract with Lloyd's Register for the classification and certification of what will become the largest yacht ever built by the Dutch shipyard. So the 130-meter superyacht is being kept under wraps for now, but Ocean Co says that the project will deliver unmatched capabilities, design sophistication, and operational range.
I mean, just side note, do you think they're going to start competing directly with the likes of Larsen? It seems they're going in that direction.
I think so. And now with Gabe Newell, I think that they're just going to be, yeah, really wanting to push the boundaries of design more and more. So we also had a lot of interest around the Saudi Tourism Authority stand. As Saudi Arabia...
You say stand, it was more of a building.
It was a
big.
Whole block.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were definitely making their presence known, and rightly so, as they unveiled the Red Sea Yacht Club network, which will rival the Med. So
that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
So, I mean, tons of news, all of which you can find on our live blog from the show. So highly recommend having a scroll through that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a hub of all the Monaco Yacht Show news. So, okay, news aside, canapes aside, Holly's humiliation aside. There is actually, we're not quite done with the Holly's humiliation because I'm sure there's more to come. But anyway, it wouldn't be Monaco without the Boat International party.
The party always passes by way too quickly. But it was does. So much, I was only on the dance floor for maybe three songs, but it was so, so fun.
So great. Also, I feel like I never shut up about the North, but the band was so great. They were actually from Manchester, which is, you know, north of England. I just think that they were proving that anything decent music-wise comes from up north. I don't know if you know who they are, Gabby, and it's going to be deeply offensive if you don't. Do you know who Oasis are?
Like, that's... Are you asking if I...
Don't even answer that.
Have I heard of them? I've heard of them coming back, but okay. I feel like that's quite the attack on my music taste, actually.
Look, I'm just disappointed.
Okay.
That's all I've got to say.
Sorry, Holly.
But anyway, the band was so good, and
so
I feel
good.
Like they were just bringing out banger after banger.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I didn't... What was the song? Freed from Desire? I'd never heard of this song before, but I was singing along somehow. What?
I turned around at one point, and I thought, this girl has never heard this song before, and it's like... Everybody knew it, and I just looked at you. But you know what? You were still getting involved.
I was.
Singing your little heart.
Do you know what? I was, and you know, the band all told us to crouch down. And first of all, after a week after walking in Monaco, like that was doing a number on my legs. But you know, it was just it took quite a bit of an effort to get back up. But they were really good about getting everyone involved. I think at the end of the night, we were all so disappointed that that it was over. I went over in my not so drunken state and and went over to them and I was like, please come on, you've got one more song. And they very politely shut me down, but maybe it's just a testament to how good they were.
Yeah, I mean, God loves a trier. We just had to move the party along, didn't we? We won't talk about that.
Yeah, no.
But anyway, that's all to say it was a very successful show, and I think, you know, we've had great feedback, so that's what we love to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Right, I'm now looking and I'm thinking this is an incredibly long podcast, and that's probably because you've got the two yappers of the office. So all I can do is apologize. If you're still with us at this point,
we were going to go into the biggest news stories of September, but maybe we'll save that.
I think we'll save that.
Yeah.
I think we've talked about a few different movements in the yachting news world and the business world today.
Honestly, yeah.
Along with a few, you know, caveats. And...
Well, I mean, that's what the Monaco show is, really.
Yeah, exactly. It's all fun and games.
guys, we're on our last two brain cells.
We're
recording this
delirious.
Like 10 minutes before the end of the day. An hour?
We've still got an hour.
Oh, great.
But anyway, I think that we will leave it there. So thank you so much for listening.
Hope everyone's resting up after Monaco show.
I hope
so.
See you in Flibs. It's fast approaching.
Mm-hmm.
But Gabby... Thank you so much for joining me today and for keeping me entertained and for embarrassing me and sharing with the whole industry about my slightly...
Hey, feel Feel free to invite me back anytime, Holly.
Oh, look, I'm going to be roping you in every week.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
All right. Well, that's a wrap. That's all for this week's Boat Briefing. If you made it this far, firstly, I'm impressed and can only apologise for all the yapping. And secondly, thank you for listening to this week's episode, which was a production of Boat International Media. Don't forget to like and subscribe for more interviews with industry experts, deep dives into data, and regular updates from the world of super yachting. Until next time.